Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today. And we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 says this. It says, "Then he said," referring to Jesus, "here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14 says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." If you have something, stick it right there in Hebrews. If you have a Bible, we're going to come back to that in just a few moments here. But let's turn as well to John, the Gospel of John. We're going to look at chapter 19, and we're going to look at two verses very quickly here, and we'll jump into our message. John chapter 19, and verse 41 says this, says, "At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there." Today we're going to be talking about Jesus, the perfect seed. Jesus, the perfect seed. Bow your heads, let's pray just very briefly. Lord, I thank you for this day. As we said, for this is a day that you have made, and Lord, we take this opportunity, this moment to rejoice and to be glad in it. We are so ever grateful for the sacrifice that you paid for us and what that means. And Lord, as we deliver this message today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move, that he would speak. Lord, I decrease that you might increase in this moment. Lord, I pray that every heart would be open, every ear would be tuned to what you're trying to get across today. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's in our midst today, everyone across our building, Lord, that you would touch us in this moment. I thank you, God, for you are amazing to us. In Jesus' name, we all said together. We all said together. Right, we're one of those churches where feel free to talk back, right? I like a little discussion. I like to know that you're actually alive and kicking there this morning. So give me just a whoo. Okay, all right. Just want to make sure that you're there, that you're alive. Now, obviously, Easter, right, is a week where we see so many kind of opposing themes, right? As you've probably had discussions or maybe conversations, or maybe you've been reading your Bible this week, there are so many kind of opposing themes that come up kind of in this singular event. We see them collide in this one particular event that we call Easter. And some of those themes you might have seen, you might see victory and defeat as a theme, themes that you see kind of come together. You see light and darkness, right, kind of come together. You see triumph and tragedy that come together, and also good and evil. But I really feel like there's one theme that kind of outweighs them all. Two themes that you see kind of collide that that we tend to talk about on this week of Easter, and that's death and life. Death and life. And let's be honest about it. We don't like talking about death. It's not something that you kind of pull up in like water cooler conversation. Hey, let's talk about death today, right? You don't do that, right? You don't talk about death in those circumstances at all, right? It's just something that we don't really talk about. And we'll do anything really kind of as much as we can to avoid talking about death. We don't like to talk about it. Why? Because, man, it's uncomfortable, right? It's uncomfortable when you get conversations about death because you don't know what people have been through. You don't know what people have lost. And so you're kind of like, I don't want to. Can we talk about something else? Right? Is there anything else we can talk about? And so we don't like to broach it. We don't like to broach that subject. We don't want to talk or think about it. And it's because of the emotions that we associate with the topic death, right? There's hurt. And there's pain and there's fear that's associated with death. And I get all that, right? We experience it all the time, and it's not positive. So it's not something that we're just readily want to jump into, right? We'll talk about the shows that we watch, what we kind of Netflixed and chilled, right? But we don't necessarily want to talk about death. It's not something that's really comfortable for us to speak about, right? There's kind of this phrase that death becomes, or I think it was a movie actually, right? No thanks, all right? I don't want death to become me, right? You can kind of keep that over there. I'll stay over here, right? Because I don't, death over there. But there is something about the idea, the concept of death, that really helps us to understand and grasp the importance of life, right? Death has an important place to play, has an important role, an important part to play, because it really helps us to recognize and really appreciate the life that we have, the life that we live, the life that's in our bodies. And I would submit to you that, man, you really don't fully appreciate the value of life until you've experienced the sting of death. You can't really appreciate, man, just how much life means to you until you've kind of felt the pain, the hurt, that sting of death, right? When we do experience that thing, it seems like our minds come alive to what life really means, and all of a sudden, man, we want to go rock climbing and travel across the world. Why? Because, man, death is just, it just makes it so important. It brings you alive. When death comes into your life, and whether you've had a loved one pass away or whatever might have occurred, and I've had it in my life as well, man, you begin to think about, man, what is it that I've done with my life? What is it that I want to do? Man, there's I got my bucket list. There's still some stuff I want to check off on there. I still got to go skydiving. I know I'm not the only one that has it on their bucket list. It's still on mine. I haven't done it yet, right? I still got to go skydiving something, right? I haven't been to all the Disneys yet, right? There's like Disney Japan or somewhere. Like, I want to go there. I want to be there. Like, I haven't gone to certain places that I still want to visit. And so when we experience death, it helps to bring, man, you know what? I'm going to appreciate this life that I have. Man, this it means more to us once we kind of understand what death means. And so I think that's why you see these two concepts of death and life put together, right? It's because, and I believe it's for one reason, I think that God put these two together to help us understand that death prepares the way for life. I'll say it again, death prepares the way for life. And we see the evidence of this play out in nature, right? It plays out in nature all the time, and we see it through seeds, right? Seeds are just this amazing thing. And in a good seed, right, is contained literally everything necessary for the growth and development of new life, right? Just in the seed, when you bite into an apple and there's a seed in there, if you kind of planted that seed in the right place under the right conditions, what's going to happen? There's going to be a tree that's going to come up from that seed. So everything that's necessary for life is found in that seed. And when seeds are planted, here's the thing, the kind of cool thing about seeds, and is why I'm like, Pastor Kevin, why are you talking about seeds? I'm going to let you know, right? The reason why we're talking about seeds is because seeds do something really weird when you plant them. Essentially, seeds die. They kind of sacrifice themselves so that what's contained in them, which is an embryo, can grow and begin to sprout roots. So the seed, what we see is really kind of the outer shell. What the seed does is it protects what's on the inside. It's the most important part. It's the part that contains life. And if you read kind of some of the scientific parts of it, it actually remains dormant until it's actually planted. Right, so you have this seed, and the embryo part stays still, and what we know as a seed, it's there, but until you plant it, right, nothing really happens. But once we do plant it, there's roots that take hold. A small plant of fruit begins to emerge from the ground, breaking through the ground. And then what we see is what science calls germination. Everybody say that, say germination. Sounds like a funky club or something like that, right? Germination, right? And so as Christians, man, we believe that Jesus was the perfect seed of God, right? That Jesus was a seed. If we were kind of take this from a spiritual perspective, man, Jesus really is the perfect seed of God. He's something that was placed into the ground And because of him, man, we experience new life. Let me explain it to you, right? The reason why we see this, Hebrews 10:10 says, man, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Jesus was planted on the earth to free us from the bondage of sin in our lives and to reestablish a relationship between God and us. God planted, literally planted Jesus on this earth in the ground for us so that what? Man, our lives could be sprung forward. That there would be life that would come from out of us. Let me show you why I'm kind of making this leap that Jesus was the perfect seed. Let me tell you why. It's kind of two reasons. The first reason is this. When Jesus lived on earth as a man, never sinning, he never sinned. He never lived. He never lied. He never cheated. Right? He was a person that lived a sinless life. He accomplished something that no other person could ever do. Right? As great as you are, you sinned at some point. You may not acknowledge your sin, but you have. You've done something wrong. You've done something that has hurt someone else or hurt yourself or kind of you sinned. And we have to accept that. But Jesus lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life, and he was fully man. As much as we know about the divine nature of God, we also have to recognize the natural person that he was. He was a human just like us. He experienced emotions and feelings just like we did. And in that part, he was the perfect seed. He was the only person, the only viable seed, the only good seed worthy enough to sacrifice his life for our freedom. All right, let me give you the second way. Jesus also showed he was the perfect seed through his divine nature, so that God part of him. We like to say in Christianity that he was fully God and fully man. That there were these dual roles that he played when he was on the earth. And this God part of him, in this God part, he possessed literally all of the attributes necessary to save us. Necessary to do the work that he needed to do. And he was creator, all that was in him. The provider was in him. The shepherd, the deliverer, the holy one, the almighty, the love. It was all encompassed in him. And in Jesus' life was contained everything needed to deliver us and save us and set us free. He was a seed. Everything was contained inside for life. And she was saying, okay, well, why should this matter to me? Why should this matter to me? Right? Because really, we're all looking for ways to be set free. And a lot of times, we try to do it on our own. How do we do it? We try to find it in other people. We try to find it in technology. We try to find it in kind of narcotics or drugs. We try to find it in food. We find it in all these different areas. We find it in everything, but from the source that it actually is supposed to come from, and that is Christ. We're always looking for salvation in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the... Sorry, I had to do it. Right? We're looking for love. We're looking for salvation in all the wrong places versus where it actually comes from. Only a perfect seed containing everything that was in it could accomplish the goal of making you right with God. Here's the thing about sin. It separates us from God. It puts us in a position where our imperfect selves can't align with his perfectness. His holiness is what the Bible says about God. Right? We mess up and we kind of do stuff and we feel guilt and shame. And so God, he devised this plan so that we could, again, be in relationship with him, that you yourself could know God, that that you could experience him and that you could know him. He wants to know you. He wants to lavish love on you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And so he devised this plan after Adam and Eve messed it all up for everybody, right? He sent a seed, said, I'm going to plant a seed. And from that seed is going to come something even greater than what I planted. It's going to come, something amazing is going to come from it. So what's needed in our lives to connect us with the holy God is germination,
We need to be to go through this process the way a seed is planted. That has to happen inside of us. There has to be a process by which what is imperfect in us becomes purified so that we can be connected to the perfection of God. There has to be something that helps to change our lives. There has to be something that helps move you from where you've been to where you're trying to go, to where you need to be. Something has to happen. What does that look like? We read it earlier, Hebrews 10:9-14. Jesus says, here I am. Right? He makes it easy for us. He makes it obvious. Here I am. I have come to do your will. And he sets aside the first to establish the second. He takes something that's old and he makes it new. He takes something that's not working and he helps to say, hey, I've got something that's going to work. What does the old look like? We read it there. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Right? You've got these priests and they're sacrificing goats and bulls and all this stuff to help try to make people right with God. But it doesn't work. Right? They do all this stuff. They're making sacrifices again and again. They're offering it, but it can never take away your sins. There had to be something better and greater. There had to be something to replace what was going on. And so Jesus sent his son. So when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. This one seed, this one sacrifice under the perfect conditions produces everything that we need to be holy and to be in right standing with God. That's what Jesus came to do. That's why he's the perfect seed. Kind of in our lives as well, day after day, man, we kind of do the same stuff over and over again, trying to make ourselves right for God. Right? We try to be a really good person. I'm going to be the best person I can be, but it never quite adds up to who we want to become. Right? We try to take these measures and maybe you kind of make yourself feel guilty or, man, you do this stuff in your life to try to numb the pain, right? I thought of that Bengay commercial just now. You numb the pain and you relax it away. That's kind of what we try to do in our lives. We're trying to numb the pain of what's going on, of the sin and the shame and the guilt that we carry every day. And we just want to be free. We just want to be free. Man, I need to be free. I have to break free from what's been going on in my life. There has to be something different than what I've been experiencing. There has to be something new for me in this life. What I'm here to let you know is that Christ came so that you could be free. He is the perfect seed. He's exactly what we needed to be free. So I don't have to remain in this place. I don't have to stay where I've been kind of hanging out all along. I can be whoever God called me to be. Christ did his part. He went to the cross. He suffered and died for us. And literally, all that's asked of us in this process is to do two things. The first thing is this, to believe it. To believe that Jesus died for your sins. To connect with what he did for us. That's all that's asked. It's to put your faith in the fact that he carried that for you. That he took your place, that he paid the ultimate price. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself, who sacrificed himself for me. The second thing that we kind of have to do is to believe that he rose from the dead. That's why we celebrate Easter. We have to believe it and put our trust in the fact that he didn't remain dead, but he rose from the grave. That we have to believe that death was not Jesus's end. And I don't think it's your end either. That the stuff in your life that, man, that's been hanging over you for so long that you're ready to let go, I don't believe that you're just supposed to stay in this state, but you're supposed to be free from it. That you would rise from the grave in your life that you've been hanging out in for so long. The stuff that's just been weighing on you. Bad relationships and addictions and hurt feelings and abuse
and the stuff that is just weighing us down every day. You are meant to be free from it. All it requires is that we believe and believe that he died for our sins and that, man, that he rose from the dead. And with this rising comes a new and reestablished relationship with God. If a seed is not planted, there's never an opportunity for growth to occur. If we never put to death the stuff that's in our life, we will never be free from it. There's some things in our life that, man, we should have deaded or put to death a long time ago. But we kind of hang out in the same place and we kind of hang on to the stuff and it lingers in our life versus us being free. What happens so often, we don't even broach, even want to think about the idea of death, is that we have never experienced the life that comes on the other side of it. Right? If I never put stuff to death, then I can never experience life again. That's why Easter is so important, because our sins were put to death. And in Christ, we were made alive in him. That's why we celebrate. That's why, man, we sing so passionately and we worship so hard. Why? Because we begin to understand the sacrifice that Christ made and the beauty of what his coming out of the grave means for us. It means that we're free, that we don't have to stay in that place of bondage any longer. John, I love this part of this verse that read in John, because it kind of lets you know what was going on in God's mind. I kind of find it funny that at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. At the place where death occurred was actually in a garden. In the garden was a new tomb in which no one has ever been laid. And so what they do, they planted a seed in a garden. I can't even make that up. That's in the word. They planted a seed in the garden, and here's the thing. It was because it was the day of preparation. You have death preparing the way for life. Death preparing, it's the way for life. And death hurts. It stings. It sucks. I mean, if I can just be honest, right? We don't like to deal with it. We feel like it causes us pain, but if we can just focus our minds beyond the pain that we're in to the resurrection and the rising from it that comes from beyond that death, wow, what an amazing story it is. And that's why we celebrate this Easter. We celebrate Easter. Why? It's because of what comes after the death. Death prepares the way for life. I believe that for many of us in this room, that this is a day of preparation, that there's some stuff that, man, we've been hanging on to for so long, and God wants to connect with you. He wants to be in a real relationship with you, but he also wants you to be free, free from the stuff that you've kind of been going through. So I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you kind of a unique opportunity right now to put some things to death by planting a seed. I want to give you this opportunity to put some things to death by planting a seed. And we're going to do this in a kind of a cool way, right? Now, there's buckets on the rows. And the buckets is what I like to call it. Man, it's a seed. It's a ping pong ball, but we'll call it a seed today, right? And so what I'm saying, there might be some things in your life that, man, some might be one thing that you've been kind of hanging on to that you need to put to death. Man, there's a Sharpie in there. I encourage you, man, to just take a moment to write that stuff, that thing that you need to put death in your life. Maybe it is whatever that sin is. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something in your past. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something that's discouraging you. I want to take a moment, man, to really think about, man, what is it in my life that I need to put to death? What is it that I need, man, to just go ahead and put down so that I can experience life on the other side? So we're going to take just a moment. Man, I encourage you to use a Sharpie. Man, go ahead and just write on the ball. Man, just write whatever it is that you need to put to death in your life today. What is it? What is it that needs to be put to death? And we're actually going to take a moment to do this. And so what I want you to do is we're going to plant that seed today. Once you write, I'm going to ask you to come up, and you can do this in your own timing, to come up and take your seed, and I want you to literally bury it, and then you're going to dig some dirt, and I want you to cover it up.
because I don't want you to kind of just leave it there. I want you to actually go through the process of burying the seed, of burying that thing that's been weighing you down and putting you through so much trouble that so that you can experience new life, that there's something on the other side of it that you need to begin to experience, that the death can't linger on you forever.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.